And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
Today, Rob Culler, who's a supervising ranger based at the Fitzgerald Marine Reserve. And Rob's going to talk about everything from snakes on the coast to the changing dynamics of the Fitzgerald Marine Center. Welcome, Rob.
Thank you, John. It's good to be here with you.
Well, as I said, we start off talking about the slivery things that happen on the coast. One big question, are there rattlesnakes actually on the coast?
My understanding is there are rattlesnakes on the coast, and there are also serpents. Sorry.
No. Good one.
Thanks. I'm sure there are. You can never say that there's an animal that is or isn't somewhere. It doesn't matter what people say.
Well, trigger warning. Rob has a great sense of humor. So rattlesnakes are actually at ground level or in the hills?
I would say the hills.
In the hills, yeah. I've never seen one at ground level. But we do see the garter snakes, including the San Francisco garter snake. And earlier you were saying that's protected, correct?
The San Francisco garter snake is protected. We have gover snakes that are beautiful. They can be 4 to 5 feet long.
Ooh.
And I'm sure your wife would get a kick out of seeing one of those slither out from underneath the greenhouse, as you mentioned.
I think so. That's a biggie.
And the thing is, even with rattlers, they're there to take out rodents and other things that we might deem pests. So they're good critters.
They're good for the ecosystem.
Yeah.
They absolutely are.
Yeah.
Where would you find the gopher snakes?
Oh, anywhere. They could be on trails in San Pedro Valley, up in Montera Mountain, anywhere.
Are they declining? Well, say the garter snakes. I've not seen so many in the last couple of years.
I don't have an answer to that with the garter snakes. People seem to see them fairly routinely. I don't, but
no, nor I used to. So yeah. That's really strange.
Yeah. I did see a python, though, like the picture I showed you about 14 years ago.
Where?
In the reserve. Although that was a herpetologist who brought it by to share with me.
I was going to say, they're running amok.
You had mentioned snakes. I just had to say, we have the no dog signs. So just hearkening back to what you had said, I just wanted to share with people that was the reason that we don't want dogs there. But it was a funny, humorous term trying to get people to say, slow. It's a marine reserve. With the animals there, we don't want them to. It can create problems with the dog feces disease can go back and forth. Leptospirosis can be an issue there. And so that's why I kind of jokingly would explain to people occasionally if they got a little feisty about the dog thing.
It sticks. It's a great motif. Yeah. I love it. So speaking of the health of the Fitzgerald Marine Reserve, has there been a lot of change with some climate change? Have you seen anything going on there?
It's a really good question. A few months ago, the reef seemed very alive to me again. A lot of nudibranchs, a variety of species of anemone, a lot of all kinds of critters we were seeing out there, and octopus everywhere. And
octopus?
The octopus. And we had, coming out of December and January. Something else that's been happening off our coast here is the last several years, a lot of people have noticed, I took notice of a few years ago, is the kelp beds. The kelp beds were growing rather thick again just off the coastline, which is a very, very good sign to me. Of a healthy ocean.
Kind of like lichens on trees, similar.
I would say that to some degree, because if you have life forming that's out there and there's a relationship out there where it's actually giving, I mean, kelp creates oxygen and habitats, and it's a very critical component to the ocean environment. Now, conversely speaking, north of us 100, 150 miles, it's all been dying because of the urchins that have grown out of control. And so the urchins have eaten basically a lot of the algae, the kelp that's up there. So there in turn, there's the abalone don't have anything to eat. And that goes back to another thing about the ocean, which stretches from here north. I think the ocean is looking relatively healthy at this point, even with climate change is a conversation that's constant. There's a lot of algae growth. It's being washed up on the beaches. We're seeing a fair amount of life out there still. The fishing seems to be reasonable. The harbor seal population is doing pretty well there. We're coming out of a pupping season. The pups seem very healthy. But up north, I just wanted to contrast. In 2013, when we lost the sunflower stars, which was due to the wasting syndrome, which made national news, it's a very big deal. They're still studying it and trying to reintroduce these animals in because they're a keystone species. They were keeping the urchins down. And the urchins have now annihilated a lot of the kelp that's up north, and therefore reduce the food supply for abalone, which was a very significant focus and a hobby industry for divers. And so California Fish and Wildlife nixed that. So there's no more ab diving, which is a domino effect of a keystone species like the sunflower star disappearing. So I'd say that since 2013, when we first took notice of the disease in the reserve, many of the other species of star were affected by it, but we're also seeing them come back around. Just today, we were out with tours, and there were dozens of ochre stars that I saw over by the mussel beds. They feed primarily on mussels. So the ochre stars are what you'd call a keystone species of the five rays with the little white dots on them. That's something I would consider an indicator that the ocean's looking pretty healthy in our area right now. And sure, there's things that are going on. As far as what I understand, as far as pH of the ocean, it looks pretty stable. Now, again, there's another thing being reported with the blob that we've experienced here before, warmer water. That does create some problems. So my understanding is that the fish are further offshore. The birds are having to go further offshore to feed. So we're having a larger display of deceased birds that aren't able to get enough food. So they are passing away. So it's that balancing act. And it's happened before. It's a cyclical thing out there.
Right. So not necessarily a trend in the wrong direction.
A trend in the right direction would be being able to see a lot more of the sea stars coming back around. But yeah, I can't speak to that on the total science. I'm out there. I see the life. I see the life forms. And they are there. The shells look thick. The calcium looks like it's healthy. And the algae that are growing in the, like the coralline algae, are another indicator of the water column displaying what it needs to. Calcium carbonate, for example. Sorry, I'm kind of...
No. Well, you're speaking very eloquently about this. So do you lead the tours yourself?
I do some, and we work with docents. Oh,
I think that would be fascinating. So how can the public learn about these tours?
Tours, they can call the county. We take reservations for tours at the reserve at 650-363-4021. And the tours are led with our partner agency, the Friends of Fitzgerald Marine Reserve.
When do they occur?
The tours are, we're going to wind down by the time we hit summer just because the tides aren't really apropos, but they'll run basically from December through to now.
Earlier when we were talking, you were mentioning that there's a zone, I think a 3-mile zone along and off the coast. This
Correct.
Is to protect the reserve?
It's to protect the ocean environment as a whole. It's called a marine protected area. It extends from the south end of Monterra to Pillar Point itself and 3 miles out into the ocean. It's considered a no-take zone, and that is to allow a breeding area for fish to expand their populations. And they've been, this was a long concerted effort by a variety of stakeholders, and it was kicked into gear in 2010, then 2011, and it looks like it's been pretty successful. And the idea is, off the reserve, you can transit your boats through, but you cannot, no fishing, no lines in the water. And also in the marine reserve itself, we've got the sanctuary, the state mandated MPA, and then the county, which is my agency, operates the reserve. So total protection, no take whatsoever. Nothing can leave the marine reserve because everything feeds the ecosystem and feeds the habitat. It could be a home for something else, even.
Somebody new to the reserve, what would they expect to see out there?
I think the first thing that they would notice is we have a large whale display now. That was the result of a gray whale washing up at Seal Cove. We collected the bones. We created an exhibit and display telling the story of this female whale. And it's quite a sight, actually. And then we have a nice visitor center, which is rather small, but it packs a punch. And then they can move on to viewing the reef from the bluff top. People get such a kick out of the trees of the cypress forest there. The light's always changing. If it's foggy, it's fascinating. If it's clear, it's gorgeous. And then walking along an easy 10-minute walk down a staircase, you're at Seal Cove, and that's where we have a really pretty beach and a reef. The reef there is outstanding for tide pulling.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've shot images there. It's really conducive, photogenic. And I should mention, Rob, you're a photographer yourself, so you've got a great opportunity to mix your interests.
Yeah, I feel very blessed in that respect. My passion and my background is in photography and video, and it's been nice to be able to integrate that with my job. And it comes in handy for everything from science to art to documenting what we're doing as an agency. We have a lot of neat projects going on always. that are happening with our partners and with internally. So it's nice to be able to capture all that. And I happen to be very passionate about wildlife, so I'm lucky to have this job and I have access to things. And I think like any wildlife photographer, you need to do the thing over and over again to be able to share this with people when they visit. And I think that's for me, that's one of the more gratifying parts of the job, especially the kiddos.
They're lucky to have you. So, Coastsiders, should you wish to take one of these tours, the phone number again is
650-363-4021.
Well, thank you, Rob. Very informal, informational.
Thank you,
John.
And
this is John Williams from the KHMB Feature Story of the Week.
Our thanks to that ever-wandering John Williams for another interesting and educational Feature Story of the Week. For Radio Magazine, this is Jim Henderson.